Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Miller Lite. Triple Hops Brewed Miller Lite. Taste greatness. You're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 414. I'm Amy Matheny, and I am really excited about today's show. A book came across my desk, and a lot of books come across my desk, but this one really stuck out to me because in this book, it had the tools to help a young GLBTQ person get along. And you know, there was such a time when, and not too long ago, when many of us in the community, we really had to struggle and seek resources and our own tools, often by a lot of missteps and quiet, sought out conversations. And God forbid, before the internet. It was a really, really difficult landscape for us as GLBTQ people, and now, and especially as young people. And now there is this wonderful survival guide that is in its second edition printing to help give GLBTQ teens some keys and tools, a survival guide, if you will, on all things queer and all things that they may encounter in their lives. And so I'm so excited to be talking with the author and editor of this new guide on today's Queercast. Also, it's been a really big season of holidays and spring break and Easter and Passover. So I hope all of you have had a wonderful, wonderful time visiting with friends and family, or at least you've survived visiting with friends and family. Many of you hopefully went to warmer regions. I have not. Not yet, but the grass is getting greener, and maybe where you are, things are in full bloom. They're not here in the Windy City, but it is so promising that summer is around the corner. One thing I want to tell you about is something I feel very passionate about, and as many of you know, Stephen Rader, who is one of our co-hosts and will be on our show again very soon, is the executive director of Season of Concern. And here in Chicago, Season of Concern is our organization within the arts community that helps raise money for HIV and AIDS. And now that has expanded to any person with critical care needs. And what this organization does is it helps take care of real direct things that individuals need. So it's not for research, but it is for food. It is for medicine. It is for groceries. It is for the things that people need when they are in need, the direct care that an organization can provide comes from Season of Concern. And myself and my good friend Heather Schmucker, that you heard on our show on Broadway, are producing an event for Season of Concern. Every dollar, every bit of the proceeds, all of the talent is donating their time and energy for a one-night-only reading of the Oscar award-winning classic, and dare I say, cult hit, All About Eve. That's right, All About Eve, with the fantastic Hollis Resnick portraying Margot Channing. Fasten your seatbelts, it's going to be a bumpy night. And that night is Monday, May 23rd. The whole evening is going to be at the main stage in Rogers Park, which is such a beautiful facility if you have not been to it, where you can drink, you can have a drink at a little table, and you can watch this stage reading with this cast that includes Heidi Kettering, who was in Wicked here for many years, a big musical theater and theater actress around town. Larry Yando, who for many years has portrayed Scrooge at the Goodman, and Larry has been in, you know, is on the national tour of Lion King. Brilliantly funny man playing Addison DeWitt. BJ Jones is going to be in the production, who is the artistic director of Northlight Theater. And Sandra Delgado, who just finished the hit at the Goodman, El Nogalar, is going to be portraying Eve. So that plus many, many more people, many, many more amazing, talented people. Steppenwolf Ensemble member James Vincent Meredith, gorgeous, gorgeous, sexy man that he is. It's going to be an all-star night. And listen, folks, it's so affordable. It is $45 per ticket. And just remember that all 45 of those dollars go to Season of Concern. Or you can buy two tickets. Many of us come out in pairs, either with a friend or with your partner. And that is only $80. So you get a $10 savings on two tickets for $80. So you can get those tickets at seasonofconcern.org. Seasonofconcern.org, Monday, May 23rd. There are only a couple hundred seats. So get your tickets now before they are sold out. All About Eve, one night only, Monday, May 23rd. And continuing our very teen-based show today, there is a lot of news, and the stories are, there are some heartbreaking stories in today's news that impact our GLBTQ teens. And we'll be bringing that to you along with what else is going on in the theater scene. But I am really happy that you're listening to this show, and let's get on with the news.
Want to learn to play tennis in no time? Chicago's Midtown Tennis Club has the country's only patented tennis teaching program to turn beginners into players in just 3 short weeks, with sessions beginning April 30th. During Tennis in No Time, students will learn the basics of the game, including the forehand, backhand, and serve in a fun group atmosphere. Best of all, Tennis in No Time is affordable, even in today's economic climate. Enrollment in TNT is $115 and includes a 3-week membership to Midtown Tennis Club, invitations to 2 social parties, and 9 hours of instruction from the country's best pros for only $115. That's less than $20 for each hour and a half lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in the heart of Chicago's Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more on Tennis in No Time, call 773-235-2300 or visit midtown.com/Chicago.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. An attack on a transgendered woman in a Baltimore County, Maryland McDonald's was videotaped and then went viral via the internet. The victim claims it was definitely a hate crime. Chrissy Lee Polis, 22, stopped at McDonald's restaurant to use the restroom, but was attacked by 2 females, including a 14-year-old girl, who repeatedly kicked and punched her. Polis also claimed they spit in her face. A worker at the restaurant, Vernon Hackett, 22, taped the attack, and he was fired days after the incident. Another employee and an elderly restaurant patron tried to intervene.
Arizona Governor Jan Brewer has signed a bill that gives heterosexual couples priority consideration when agencies place children in foster care or adoption. Although Brewer received approximately 500 postcards from opponents of the measure, she signed it.
A Facebook rep has said that the removal of a photo of two men kissing was a mistake. The Dangerous Minds Facebook page was set up to promote a gay kiss-in demonstration to protest a London pub's decision to throw out a same-sex couple. The photo was initially quickly removed with a message sent to the page's administrators that read, "Postings that contain nudity or any kind of graphic or sexually suggestive content are not permitted on Facebook." Dozens of people then posted their own photos of same-sex smooches.
The California Senate passed a bill that would mandate the teaching of LGBT history in public schools. If the bill is adopted by the state assembly and signed by Governor Jerry Brown, California would become the first state to require this subject in schools' curricula. The bill is flexible in letting schools decide when to include lessons and what grades students should start learning. However, any anti-LGBT material would have to be excluded starting in the 2013-14 school year.
In Indiana, ex-Marine Michael Griffin has been found guilty of intentionally killing gay Indiana University professor Don Belton 2 years ago. Griffin admitted to the jury that he had stabbed Belton 22 times with a knife 2 days after the men had a sexual encounter, but he claims the sex was non-consensual. Griffin could get up to 65 years in prison.
Darun Ravi, the roommate of Rutgers University student Tyler Clementi, who committed suicide after Ravi and Molly Wee allegedly taped Clementi's same-sex encounter with another man, has been indicted on 15 counts. Ravi, age 19, is accused of attempted invasion of privacy, bias, intimidation, and other charges. Two of the second-degree charges could bring up to 10 years in prison each.
The Delaware Supreme Court has ruled that the former partner of a woman who adopted a child from Kazakhstan has de facto parental rights. One of the women initially adopted the child, but the host country does not allow two women to adopt the same child. Little more than a year later, the women ended their relationship, with the non-adopting partner suing for custody.
Openly gay WikiLeaks suspect Bradley Manning has been transferred from the maximum security facility Quantico to medium security facility Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Manning is accused of leaking secret documents to WikiLeaks, but has not been indicted after almost a year.
In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo is helping gay rights groups mobilize for a marriage equality bill. Cuomo's staff will help groups raise more than $1 million for a media blitz, hire a political consultant, and deploy field organizers. Several gay rights organizations plan to form a single organization called New Yorkers United for Marriage.
The pro-LGBT group Out and Equal has lauded Home Depot for linking its website to the organization. In response, the Anti-Gay American Family Association called for a boycott of all Home Depot stores.
Virginia's Board of Social Services has voted 7-2 not to add language to adoption regulations that would have prohibited discrimination on basis of sexual orientation. Under Virginia law, single people, regardless of sexual orientation, and married couples may adopt. However, unmarried couples cannot.
In Texas, Jose Alphonse Aviles, age 45, has been charged with capital murder after allegedly killing his daughter's girlfriend upon discovering the relationship. Aviles' daughter had been dating 24-year-old Norma Hurtado, fueling a feud between the two families. Hurtado and her 57-year-old mother were shot at their home and died at the scene.
Because Kentucky does not recognize same-sex marriage, Louisville's Douglas Boulevard Christian Church will not sign marriage licenses for heterosexual couples. The congregation unanimously approved the action. The church's clergy will still perform marriage ceremonies for both opposite and same-sex couples and will help heterosexual couples find a civil servant to sign their licenses.
14 states still have laws criminalizing anal sex between two consenting adults. 10 states, Idaho, Utah, Michigan, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana ban all forms of sodomy, while 4 others, Montana, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, prohibit sodomy between two people of the same gender.
A new erection-enhancing condom from Durex is expected to give men a bedroom boost. It's called the CSD 500, but it's nicknamed Viagra for condoms. CSD 500 contains a blood flow boosting gel that helps men maintain a firmer erection for a longer time as the solution is absorbed through the skin.
In Minnesota, bullying led 2 eighth grade girls, Haley Fentress and Paige Morovitz, to fulfill a suicide pact, leaving behind suicide notes for their families. Morovitz and Fentress became fast friends. The two were so close that Fentress had hyphenated her last name on Facebook with Morovitz.
In world news, Hungary's new constitution clearly outlaws marriage equality. The Constitution, supported by conservative Prime Minister Viktor Orban, limits marriage to heterosexual couples, although same-sex couples may register for arrangements similar to domestic partnerships.
In Malaysia, authorities have sent 66 boys identified as effeminate to a camp that aims to teach them to be more masculine and discourage them from becoming gay. The boys are 13 through 17 years of age and will attend religious and motivational classes. Gay sex is illegal in Malaysia.
In Brazil, the Cruzeiro volleyball team has been fined $30,000 because its fans used anti-gay taunts against an opposing team that included a gay player. After the April 2nd game between Cruzeiro and Volley Futuro, almost all 3,000 spectators chanted a slur at Volley player named Michael. The incident prompted Michael to come out of the closet. Teammates and fans rushed to support him.
In India, the country's Supreme Court has deferred its hearing of petitions around the groundbreaking 2009 decision that decriminalized gay sex. The court adjourned the matter without announcing the date of the next hearing. Groups have filed petitions for and against the Delhi High Court decision, which struck down Section 307 of the Indian Penal Code.
In entertainment news, George Takei, the openly gay actor from the Star Trek TV series, is teaming with Patty Duke to get U.S. residents to boldly go to the Social Security website. However, there are questions as to why the out Takei would promote a benefit denied to Takei and his husband. Same-sex couples who are legally married are denied spousal Social Security benefits because the federal government does not acknowledge their marriage.
Just like her True Blood co-star Anna Paquin, actress Evan Rachel Wood has come out as bisexual in the May issue of Esquire. Wood said, "I was always into very androgynous things, guys, girls. I'm into androgyny in general." Wood added that she would marry actress Kate Winslet. The two co-starred in the recent HBO movie Mildred Pierce.
With the NBA still reeling from Kobe Bryant being fined $100,000 for using an anti-gay slur in a recent game, fellow athletes Grant Hill and Jared Dudley have shot a PSA against the use of anti-LGBT language. Hill and Dudley, who both play for the Phoenix Suns, shot a PSA for GLSEN and the Ad Council's Think Before You Speak campaign, urging kids not to use anti-gay slurs.
There'll be new episodes of the British cult hit Absolutely Fabulous. Joanna Lumley returns as Patsy Stone with Jennifer Saunders as Idina Monsoon. The new episodes are shooting this summer.
Christina Aguilera is the first to be honored on the Gay Walk of Fame at the Abbey, a West Hollywood gay night spot. The eatery slash bar honored Aguilera at its reopening on April 20th. Aguilera placed her hands and feet in cement outside the establishment.
Justin Timberlake will apparently host the season finale of Saturday Night Live on May 21st. It would mark the actor-singer's first SNL hosting gig since 2009.
Sir Elton John has signed on for another three-year run of shows at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, a show he's calling The Million Dollar Piano. He will return in September. Tickets go on sale April 25th.
Rosie O'Donnell will stay in the Trump Hotel when she moves to Chicago to relocate for her talk show on Oprah Winfrey's own network. O'Donnell said that she considers the situation funny considering the feud she had with the real estate mogul. She also said that she is again dating girlfriend Tracy.
Chris Colfer, Kurt on TV's Glee, has sold a TV pilot to the Disney Channel. Colfer wrote the project called The Little Leftover Witch, based on a children's book of the same name by writer Florence Laughlin. The book follows a young witch who joins a family after crash landing outside their house.
The Normal Heart, Larry Kramer's 1985 play about the beginning of the AIDS crisis, will debut on Broadway April 27th. Directed by Joel Grey and George C. Wolfe, the production stars Broadway actor-director Joe Mantello, Ellen Barkin, Lee Pace, Jim Parsons, and Luke McFarlane.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, this is your girl Lady Gaga, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
queer,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 25th, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. American Blues Theater presents Rantoul and I. From the creator of Mike and Molly and writer on The Big Bang Theory and Two and a Half Men comes a new play with four of the funniest, skankiest, and most heartbreakingly real characters ever. The Hollywood Reporter calls Rantoul and I original and devastatingly funny. For tickets and more, visit AmericanBluesTheater.com.
Rising Stars takes the Joffrey Ballet to new heights with premieres from some of the hottest stars in dance. Three boundary-pushing choreographers explore the secret lives we live in our dreams with Edward Lang's Woven Dreams, Yuri Pasokovis, Bells, and Julia Adams' Night. Visit us online at joffrey.org or don't miss the Joffrey in Rising Stars at the Auditorium Theater May 4th through the 15th.
Don't miss the 2002 Tony Award-winning Best Play, The Goat, or Who is Sylvia, at Remy Bumbo Theater Company. Edward Albee's razor wit tears open taboos and tests the limits of forgiveness in his 90-minute ride. Get your tickets now at The Goat or Who is Sylvia at remybumbo.org.
About Face Theater presents Pony, running now through May 22nd at the Chopin Theater. Pony's the new guy in town, and his mysterious air attracts the attention of an obsessive waitress named Marie and a young trans man named Heath. Pony wades through a world of violence, shifting gender roles, and reveals more about himself than he ever intended. For tickets to Pony, visit aboutfacetheater.com.
Dixie Longate left her children in an Alabama trailer park and took off-Broadway by storm. Now, join Dixie's good old-fashioned Tupperware party in Chicago, filled with outrageous tales, free giveaways, and the most fabulous Tupperware ever sold on a theater stage. NBC Today Show claims it's not your grandmother's Tupperware party. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com, extended through June 12th at the Royal George Theater. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller, Bueller, post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com. We've been talking a lot the past few months about our future generations of our GLBTQ community and all that they have in store, how they are providing great hope for us, and also many of the new challenges that confront them, many of which have resulted in more news stories from the mainstream about our youth, and also representations on television. And there is a wonderful resource for the GLBTQ teen in your life, or if you happen to be a young person who listens to the podcast, a great resource for you. It was called, in its first edition print, one of the best one-volume sources of information available about being GLBTQ by Booklist. And this book came across my desk, and I have to say, I did not know about the first edition of this book, so I'm thrilled that the second edition helped spark my knowledge of it, and I'm just really honored to have Kelly Hugel, who is the person that made this entire book possible. She gathered the information, wrote the book. You'll see there are a lot of different voices in the book, and it really shows the dedication she has to teens, education, and also GLBTQ activism and work. So I'm so thrilled to have Kelly on the show with me. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well, thank you.
From our nation's capital, we love the DC area. And I think Chicago feels greatly aligned with D.C., so it's wonderful to have you on. Talk to me a little bit about the impetus for this book in its origin, the first edition of this book. How did it come about, and what was it in your life that made you feel that there was a void for this type of resource?
Sure. Well, at the time that I had the idea to write the book, I was working for the Metro DC area chapter of PFLAG, which at the time and probably still is the largest chapter of PFLAG, which is Parents, Families, and Friends, Lesbians, and Gays. And I was really doing kind of just basic light office work for them. But that also involved taking a lot of calls in the office, and a lot of the calls would be from parents, from concerned family members, et cetera, who either just found out or they maybe suspected that their son or daughter was gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and needed some advice. And we were very well equipped to deal with those calls. But there was also a set of calls that we would get from young people. And because at the time the chapter didn't really operate any youth support groups, we were connected with some other groups that are better equipped to support young people specifically. We would kind of refer to those groups, and then we would also refer from a recommended reading list that we had.
Okay.
Because a lot of young people, they couldn't get to a group, or they just weren't there yet. Transportation, other things can be an issue. And they were really interested in reading material. And I just was aware of the material on the list and had read a lot of it myself. And there wasn't really anything that to me kind of spoke to young people in a voice that I myself might use. My background is in English education for secondary. So I did, you know, it was the high school English teacher gig. And what I really learned from that is that young people, they're very smart and they really like to be spoken to in general, you know, very plainly. Just put the information out there and speak to them like they can handle it, which they can. Mm-hmm. So I was really interested in trying to create a resource that was very broad and talked about some of the issues, like sexuality, that a lot of people hadn't really tackled for one reason or another, but that also just had more approachable voice.
Right. And we should just say, I mean, obviously, and you can probably count these off better than I can, but some of the major chapters, I mean, it does very much start with just language and the state of the gay community and what does G stand for, L stand for. I mean, we get through the basics pretty quick, but then you tackle, you know, the big questions of the day for a young person growing up in this community, whether it's coming out or school, friends, dating, as you said already, sex, trans, the trans teens, which I think is a growing frontier, we hear. But you use some interesting ways in which you've already alluded to about not only basic information, but firsthand experience. Can you talk a little bit about the structure and adding young people's voices to the book?
Sure. One thing that I really wanted was for the voices of actual young people to come through, because I think there's an understandable amount of sort of distrust from young people for adults.
Right.
You can tell me, but there's something more palatable about hearing something from a peer who feel gets them a little bit more.
Yep.
So we wanted to add this element. And I went out and talked to a lot of people, and actually a lot of people were really helpful and responsive in my request for assistance over the internet. So I was really happy about that. But we have these pullout quotes that are titled these "been there" sections that are really, I think they're one of, if not the strongest portion of the book.
I agree.
Advice in each chapter from young people to other young people talking about their own experiences. And I think that they do, in a lot of cases, a better job than I could, because they're talking about what they've been through. And I think it's just, like I said, I think it's one of the strongest parts of the book.
Well, and it's wonderful, things like that in your book. And we did a show, my co-host Mitchell and I did a show a few weeks ago where we were discussing how powerful a show like Glee, of having these representations of young people talking about these complicated topics and difficult topics for adults to talk about, to talk sex.
Oh, yeah.
What did you, two-part question. How did you approach talking about sex in this book? And what do you think a show like Glee talking about sex has done for teens and that conversation, either with one another or with their parents or older
friends or allies?
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of approaching talking about sex in my book, I think that I wanted to kind of strike a balance of giving it about the same weight and depth of coverage as the many other topics in the book, and not really shying away from talking about how those issues are different for GLBTQ teens. So there's a lot of information in there. I mean, I think one of the teens overall struggle with today, regardless of their orientation or gender identity, is a lack of information or accurate information about sex and sexual activity. Mm-hmm. And you hear more and more about issues, including changing views among young people, like is oral sex considered sex and things like that. So I wanted to kind of talk about some of those broad topics that apply to everyone.
Hey, adults don't even know if oral sex is sex. That I mean, that's a debate, right?
Right, absolutely. And being, for example, a gay person, you know, I grew up in a town where the line, you know, the party line was don't have sex until you're married. Well, what happens if marriage is not where your road is necessarily going because you're gay?
Right.
You know, it's not, in most states, it's not even an option. So you're saving yourself for what then? If that's, you know, if that's the context. So just talking about those issues of how to make decisions that are healthy for you, just real basics about mm-hmm. respecting yourself and standing up for yourself and advocating for yourself that are really at the core of sexuality for any teen, and just putting it in the framework and context of what it means to be, you know, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I also enjoyed, I don't remember if it was in the relationship section or if it was in the sex section, or maybe it was in both, where, you know, you've done the wonderful bend there where the young person talks about it from their perspective, a peer perspective, but also there is a way in which teens are given language from being pressured about many things, like, but definitely mm-hmm. sex is an area where, you know, you get some comebacks that won't, that may land better than what a teen knows to say when feeling pressured. I think that's a really significant thing to help give young people language, right? That they can mm-hmm. own and feel empowered with.
I agree. And you had mentioned a minute ago, seeing television shows like Glee, which I'm a big fan of, talk about some of these issues.
Yes.
And I know some people are a little uncomfortable with it. I've heard some adults talk about, don't you think they're going too far in talking about sex and teens? And, you know, from my standpoint, talking about sex is not going to make teens have it. It's an opportunity to give them information and educate them that it's important to make the right decisions to protect themselves physically and emotionally. And once you start having those conversations, you know, there's room to get in your opinions and your feelings about it and what you think that they should do, but it's important to provide all the information in the context. I think one of the parts that I thought was just beautifully handled was the conversation between Kurt and his father.
Yeah, that's what we actually started our whole podcast about,
yeah.
That one conversation, you know. But
yeah.
Tell me what you loved about it.
Well, I think I just thought that they did a really good job with the information that was in it and the advice that he gave. Mm-hmm. But I also thought it was nice how I think it really came across that there are core issues about making decisions about sex that have to do with being healthy as a person mm-hmm. and deciding when it's right and what's comfortable and the right person and all of that. That is pretty much the same whether you're gay, straight, bisexual, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that really kind of came across the normalcy across the spectrum. But
yeah.
Then he also, you know, made some specific mentions about there's going to be more information, you know, about specific things that I can't give you. And here's a pamphlet. And I think that was a great, almost script that other parents could go by.
Yeah. Well, and he did. I mean, Mike O'Malley, we think Mike O'Malley deserves an Emmy, who plays Kurt's father.
Yeah.
But, you know, he really did level the playing field to taking it away from mechanics and even taking it away
mm-hmm.
from gender. But then he also made it specific to gender, which I think for young
mm-hmm.
men, straight or gay, you know, is a really amazing message that we do not hear on television, and definitely not on
yes.
Fox, and definitely not at 7 o'clock, you know, at least in Chicago.
Right.
So, What are the new challenges? I mean, I know that cyberbullying and the power of the internet have created new challenges for LGBTQ teens. Talk to me about that.
Well, you definitely hit the nail on the head. Cyberbullying, the social media access is a huge change in the last couple of years. And it was one of the biggest changes from the first edition of the book when I had to go back and look at the current landscape. Mm-hmm. It's so easy now to jump on someone's Facebook page, to tweet about somebody, to kind of launches a viral attack on people. And it's unfortunate that it happens so easily and so quickly because you can just do it without almost thinking about it.
Right.
And it can really be overwhelming. And, you know, it's the being able to forward pictures from phones and things like that. That's, you know, at that age, young people, where they are in their development, they're not necessarily always thinking three steps down the road. It's a little bit more what's in front of me right now. And so that can be really challenging when your mistakes or your, you know, maybe we've all made questionable decisions, but those can be quickly routed to all of your friends via the internet. That just makes it a much tougher environment in a lot of ways. So it's a real challenge that people are dealing with, and certainly we're all unfortunately well aware of kind of the rash of suicides that had happened in the fall, but certainly there have been many more suicides and other incidents that have happened than just what we've heard about.
Sure. I mean, I'm curious from you, because you have your finger so on the pulse of one of the general debates is, are these suicides of either GLBTQ young people or those who are perceived to be GLBTQ on a rise, or are we just now being made more aware of these of these attempts or suicides?
Well, I think it's going to be a while till we have real meaningful data on that. And I think it's going to be difficult to get, because I tend to think that it's more that we're more aware of them. You know, unfortunately, young people can commit suicide, which is a tragedy in and of itself. And the reasons may not always be known or shared.
Right.
Or they might not have even, if they've left a note or whatever, you know, the family might be left wondering.
Sure.
And, you know, internally that could have been the motivation. So it's really difficult to get a definite answer on that.
Mm-hmm.
My inclination is to think that there's more focus on it, because there's just more focus on GLBTQ issues in general.
Yeah. What do you think of Obama's attempt to find some solutions in this area of cyberbullying, and what is needed from us as adults and as leaders to stop the rash and outbreak and educate young people on its effects?
I think the number one thing with so many of these issues in terms of being an adult, whether it's a parent or just an adult who might have an opportunity to help them advocate, is communication. To try to create a welcoming and open environment where if someone, a young person that you know of, is being harassed, they would feel comfortable telling you. Because one of the things that's so difficult about some of these issues is that for young people, for a lot of issues, is the feeling of powerlessness, because, you know, adults kind of run the world. So it's really important, and one of the things that I often say is, if you're being bullied physically, you know, or cyberbullied, harassed, what have you, it's really important to reach out to a trusted adult, you know, that might not be your parent. That might not be something you're comfortable with. They might not know what's going on, because fortunately, reaching out for help can also mean outing yourself.
Sure, sure.
But it's important to get adults involved so that they can advocate for you. And for the adults, it's important to take these things very seriously. It's very impactful on young people to be harassed, to be bullied. And if you become aware of it, to really try to get to the source. There's some great online resources and in the book in terms of who you can contact. In some cases, I think Facebook is trying to work to be better about, you know, taking down inflammatory remarks and things like that, and being responsive to bullying. Mm-hmm. But it's something that, along with so many other issues, there's sort of a little bit of catch up being played.
Right.
So, you know, to some extent, it's like it take things down on some sites and others. I think that visibility is key. I'm a huge advocate of zero tolerance policies as well within schools. I think that even though, you know, the internet, it's difficult because the schools don't have any kind of authority over that, and a lot of this stuff is taking place outside of school, or they, people've got cell phones and they can post from there. But I think that that helps to set the tone within mm-hmm. a community as well, is openness and being very forward about saying, you know, we have a zero tolerance policy. This is how we look at this kind of behavior, not only for, you know, GLBTQ teens, but as you very importantly mentioned, those who are perceived to be as well.
Right. Right. And you do share, I believe in your chapter on homophobia, you know, and in other areas, the ways in which young teens have been able to empower themselves. They have used organizations to combat homophobia in their schools. Mm-hmm. And those kind of success stories, I think, really hold out candles of, you know, lights of hope for people who would read this, for young people who might mm-hmm. read this and say, well, there's nothing that can be done. And yet you show stories in which something has been done.
Right. The young people who, you know, are some of the people that you're mentioning and some of the ones that I specifically mentioned in the book, and there are many more out there than those who were mentioned,
right.
who are have really, you know, they've brought lawsuits against their schools or in other ways have actually persevered and created meaningful change. The number of young people doing that now to me is staggering because when I was, you know, 14, 15, I can't imagine, I wasn't even like really understanding all these issues at that age, let alone to have, you know, the courage and the fortitude to be so bold in public and stand up and say, this is what's happening to me and it's not okay. I mean, a lot of adults wouldn't do that.
Right.
So, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to someone who's a major GLBTQ advocate a week. And one of the things that she was saying, which I absolutely agree with, is it's important for people to get this message of supporting GLBT young people, but not at the expense of painting a picture of them as being victims, because there are a lot of very strong, powerful young people out there.
Right.
They need our help and they need our advocacy, but that's not saying that is not to take anything away from, you know, the tremendous people that they are. We don't want to paint a picture of them as helpless.
Absolutely.
But it's
amazing you say that too. You know, we do news on every one of our shows, and I'm always so shocked, like how many news stories come over of this going on in this high school and this going on in this school district. And I mean, literally almost weekly, we have a story from somewhere across the U.S. where some sort of, you know, lawsuit has been posed or mm-hmm. something is happening, you know, change, mm-hmm. empowerment, taking a stand, drawing a line in the sand and saying that's not acceptable. You know, I will not accept unacceptable behavior for my child or the child saying it. You know, I won't accept that for my boyfriend or my girlfriend.
And the other
really
thing that you're
powerful.
Saying that it is, I think another aspect of it that you're seeing, which I think Glee also covered really well, was straight peers being more willing to stand up for, you know, their GLBTQ peers and saying, you know what, this doesn't apply to me, this harassment, but it's not okay with me.
Yes.
And being more open-minded about that, not just in their own thinking, but being willing to stand up and say, you know, this isn't cool. A lot more straight teens joining gay straight alliances, taking part in things like the National Day of Silence. And, you know, I've always said that for there to be real change, straight allies must play a bigger role because, you know, quite frankly, we just don't have the numbers, you know, to do it by ourselves.
Right.
But I truly believe that in creating a more welcoming and tolerant to society, you know, society becomes better for everyone, not just GLBTQ people.
Absolutely. And in the back of the book, you do provide an amazing amount, not only a glossary, which I think is fantastic, but also a huge amount of organizational resources for the GLBTQ community or the GLBT cute youth community. And those are all fantastic. They're also hotlines. And some of these we know about, like the Trevor Project, which has garnered so much attention, but many, many others. And as you already mentioned, many, many websites. And some of these I'm not even aware of. And I've been working in gay media for, over a decade. And so it's a really amazing resource as well for us adults to be a part of. Now, talk to me just really quickly because, the part of the community that gets talked about the least and sometimes wedged out is the T in our GLBT community. I mean, the book is GLBTQ, the Survival Guide for Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender, and Questioning Teens. And the transgender young community has really become viable, very active. And in some ways I have felt what's the word I'm looking for? There is an amazing amount of momentum with young people around conversations about gender in a way that I think older generations have not had. And quite frankly, some don't even understand the conversations being had by the young people in our community. How important is it to talk about trans issues in this book?
It was really important to me to not just gloss over the issue of being transgender, which I think a lot of resources have done, and I understand why. It's a more complicated issue in some ways, and for some people, it's almost like that T sort of has just gotten tagged on. I know for some transgender people, the sentiment is, well, we shouldn't be part of the gay rights movement. It's not the same thing, but when you talk about that issue of gender identity, that is a key one that I think that today's young people in general are really ahead of the curve in terms of where more adults are in talking about that issue, because you'll see among today's young people more of a willingness and an openness to not just say, okay, I am gay or I am lesbian, I am straight, I am bisexual, but to say, you know what, I'm gender queer. Or I am other, or I am, something completely different. And it could be, gender. I don't want to sound like I'm confusing issues of what being transgender is with issues of sexuality, because certainly transgender people as well can be, you can identify as gay or straight or other. But I think a lot of young people being willing to think outside the sort of traditional box is going to really push adults forward. And as this generation gets older, you're going to see a lot of changes in thinking, and it's going to be something that really, I think, creates a sea change in how people look at sexuality and gender identity, that again, I think is going to just make it a more welcome society for all people. Right. Because, there are straight people out there who aren't, women who aren't traditionally feminine or aren't men who aren't traditionally masculine. They're still straight, any room that we can give any individual person to express who they are, in a healthy way is good for everybody, regardless of their gender identity or their sexuality. So, it's really been incredible.
Yeah. Well, as you can tell from our conversation, even though sometimes you think of guides or resource books as being perhaps light or just that, like just a resource listing, this book is really layered, very deep. They go to the tough topics to discuss. And at the same time, it is very readable. A great resource and very clear, very direct on each of the issues it tackles. I think it is a must for if you work around GLBTQ youth, if you have an opportunity to have a cover of this book in your school, in your community center, in your place of worship, in you know a young person or parents or an adult who is raising a GLBTQ teen, this book is fantastic. It is called GLBTQ, The Survival Guide for Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender, and Questioning Teens. It is out with Free Spirit Publishing. This is the second edition, and as Kelly has said, it has been updated to deal with today's issues, because they continue to change for our young people and how we can help support them and help them support themselves with being healthy, full, abundant members of our community. So you can check out more at freespirit.com. We'll have that linked in our show notes. The book is available in bookstores. If online is how you like to purchase books, Amazon definitely has this in print and can send it right out to you. Buy a few copies. Buy them and pass them out to people that you know. And I am sure that this will be updated again, because the story continues to change for our young people, but we are helping shape the future of our community, and they are our most energetic and resourceful allies that we have, the young people that we can mentor and make sure that they feel that they are a part of a community. Kelly, thank you so much for being on with me, and I hope that you will come on again anytime to talk about these issues and things affecting the young people in our community.
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everybody, I hope you will go and get your tickets to All About Eve, the one-night-only benefit reading, all-star reading here in Chicago, Monday, May 23rd, starring Hollis Resnick as Margot Channing. All the proceeds go to Season of Concern. Visit seasonofconcern.org to get your tickets today. Please tell your friends. Please post it to your Facebook. Now that you know I'm a Facebook devotee, please post that link and say, hey, I'm going. Why don't you get your tickets to help a good cause? And I promise you, it is going to be an amazing, unique, extraordinary, and funny one night only event. So I hope you all have a great, great week. And May is here right around the corner. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.